Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are going to really have fun. We're going to be talking with Sally Felton, and I've got her book in front of me, and I just love the cover. It shows this wonderfully groomed, modern-day cartoon of a woman, and she's just balancing everything so magnificently. And just before we went on air, I was saying to Sally, I am so organized sometimes that I disorganize myself. So without further ado, I want to welcome Sally Felton to the show, who is the Clutter Coach. Yes, her book is titled, If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of All of This Clutter? Hi, Sally. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much. And it's so true. I mean, we all have clutter. Let's face it. We all do. I've talked to those that look at me straight in the face and say, no, I really don't. My house is impeccable. Well, you know, there are two kissing cousins to physical clutter, and they are emotional and mental.
Mm-hmm.
We all have it.
Well, I don't know of anyone that is going to have an absolutely clutterless home. I'll give you an example. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we got all kinds of pine trees and different trees, and they're all blooming, and they're feeling just wonderful in this spring of the year. I can go and I can vacuum, and I know a lot of my listeners will relate to this. I just want to clean everything up, and I'm just, oh, I feel so good. I turn around 5 minutes later, and I don't know where those pine needle leprechauns are, but they manage to bring in those needles and other things. I'll say, that's not possible. I just vacuumed here. You could do it.
Exactly.
There's no way anybody can have everything. I'm waiting for the self-cleaning house, Sally. I'm waiting for
that. Yeah, the same thing happens when I have an Alaskan Malamute down it, and for the life of me, you know, I will brush and brush till the cows come home. And I will let him in, and guess what? I've already vacuumed the house, and I look around, and they've multiplied. The fur is breeding more fur.
Yes, those cute little dust bunnies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and don't you just love it when some member of the household will say to you, did you see those things floating underneath the couch?
Uh-huh.
You say, no, I didn't see a thing.
Didn't see a thing. Don't wish to.
Yeah, that's
don't
it.
Don't see a thing.
Sally, I know. To me, this is an ongoing challenge, clutter. I mean, this paperless society we're in, I have got buckets of paper, and I just emptied the buckets out a week ago, and all of a sudden I'm looking and I go, oh, my goodness, it's recycle time, isn't it? I go and I unload, put the paper in the recycle bin, and I look at that and say, that much paper, we're just one household. That much paper has come out of our household. Then you've got so much paper coming out of the office. You compound that by how many millions of people in the United States? We're dealing with a heck of a lot of clutter.
Well, now, lucky us, we have digital clutter.
Oh, please.
Look at what's on our laptops and on our computers.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I just had one friend email me, Donna, and she said, Sally, you would be so proud of me. I just deleted 9,000 emails. 9,000. First off, I would have had a heart attack by now to have that many. But I know people who do, and I was one. I used to have 5,000 in my sent box.
Mm-hmm.
And they just clog up space, just like physical clutter does. Same thing.
It's amazing. And I'll share with you, a lady who's our bookkeeper, one of the things that she likes to do is assist people who have a hoarding problem with, you know, getting things tidied up. And she was telling me about this one home that she had gone into. This was a lady who was in her 60s. She had been widowed for quite a while. And she had found out about my bookkeeper services, and she said, oh, I'd love to have you help me. I just can't get rid of stuff. This is my problem. And what this lady did, she goes in, my bookkeeper goes in, and she's looking at her, and she said, I couldn't believe it. There was a path from the front door that was going around into what would have been the dining room. Now, this is a two-bedroom apartment. Then there was a path that went into the kitchen. And then she said there seemed to be this little itsy-bitsy-bitsy narrow path that went to the bedroom. Literally floor-to-ceiling stuff. But this woman not only had clutter, she had birds, she had a couple of cats, and a dog. Now, amazingly, yeah, she was a tidy person. She wasn't one of these that had food left over from 500 years ago and rats feeding in the living room. That wasn't that way. But the bookkeeper just said, I'm just, how in the world? There's only you. How can you live like this? And she said, well, you just get used to it.
So if you do, and they don't see it.
Yeah, and she saw it, and so finally she reached out for some help, and it took them one full day. One full day, and she had a crew helping her. And they just took a section. She said, this is what I'm going to do, because I know this is going to be a trauma for you. We're just going to take a section of the living room, and this is what I'm going to do. And she, you know, said, this is what we're going to do. And she did step by step by step with her. The woman said, that's fine, that's fine. And she said, you've got to have more space here. You've got to be able to live your life, not just exist. And I, to this day, I don't think it's totally cleared. And members of this woman's family said, please, we'll pay you extra. Come in and do this as quickly as you can, because it has just, we can't even go and visit her.
Well, it does. I mean, I have been to one woman's house where it was very similar to that. She did have a cat. She did have food that was on the floor from 3 years ago underneath all of the stuff. She did say to me, I don't want you to use the bathroom because you can't get in there if you need to. And this was a fire hazard. It was an absolute disaster. She had run out of space on the floor, so now she was tacking it to the walls in CVS bags. I noticed that she did not sleep in her bed. She slept on the living room couch because her bed was loaded with stuff. And when we went step by step to do her bureau, she kept soup cans and sugar in her bureau because they were just rooms and areas to put stuff. And I said to her, this is not my expertise, hoarding, but I do know of universities that are having a workshop and an intervention, and I'd love to have you go. And she said, well, I would love to go, but there's one problem. And I said, what's that? She said, my car has been condemned because it's so full of stuff I can't see out the windows.
Oh,
so
for heaven's sake.
Yeah, and she had four storage units.
You have got to be kidding.
No. And I had one client who did have one storage unit and really wanted to pare down. And in 7 years, one storage unit cost her $48,000. You start doing the math.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, start doing the math. Yeah.
That's just beyond me.
Oh, me too. My jaw fell, Donna. My jaw totally fell to the floor. I said, $48,000. What we find is why people collect or have a hard time letting go. One thing is they always feel that they will need it,
mm-hmm.
that there has to be something there just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason that people feel they have to keep it, an item could have been on sale.
Mm-hmm.
There is something to be said about the challenge. I'm the first one that loves a great sale. But I have to tell you, when I threw down the gauntlet and said, in 365 days, I am going to go through my attic, my garage, my potting shed. We have a small storage shed because we don't have a full-size attic. And every room in our house. I'm going to do it for 1 year, and I'm going to show people how to do this step by step so it's attainable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're successful at this.
Mm-hmm. I think that that is so important. This is springtime. That's
yep.
why I was so delighted to have you as a guest during this time. It's springtime. We've got longer daylight hours. And I don't know about other people. I can't speak for them. But there is this insatiable urge to get things in order. It's like you want to
yeah.
open up the windows after a long winter. You want to air the house out. And this is really a good time to be able to look at what you've got and to be able to go through things room by room. But now you set this plan up for a year. And I
yep.
know in your book you talk about this. So with what you did you have any opposition from members of family, or did you enlist the assistance of friends? I mean, what did you do?
I did it by myself. And this is what I did. I started out by saying to my radio listeners, I am going to show you how to do this. And my first thing is one needs to make a goal or have a vision. My mission statement or goal was to simplify the surroundings in which I lived. So if I had, for example, 3 or 4 whisks in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
why do I need 4? 2 is just fine. So what I did was anything that is a duplicate really gets revisited. If I need it, I am a firm believer that the universe is going to show up and give me something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in that. So what I did, Donna, was I made a list of every room, and then the season with which I am going to attack it. For example, I am not going to attack the attic above the garage when it is January in the Northeast. Not
mm-hmm.
happening. I can't wear enough clothes to keep myself warm.
Gotcha.
Nor will I do it in the heat of August or September. But you know what? I can do it in June, even on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I said, all right, here's the room. Here are the articles. Now, how am I going to do this? If you look at a room that's overloaded, you're going to back up and go, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. This is overwhelming. I'm exhausted already. Take it with a more positive approach. Here is my egg timer, or here is my iPod, and I'm going to listen to so many songs, and I'm going to work to my left until the song is done. So I am chunking it out. I am going to stay focused, and when it's done, it's done. If it's not done within a half hour or an hour, so what? This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. In order to do something, you have to be able to make yourself accountable, just as we do doctor's appointments, and to show up and do the work.
I really have found using a timer. I went to a dollar store and I found little timers that I could get. And
yeah.
if I have them, I use them for a number of different things, but it really, really does help, especially if you have a tendency like me to get on the computer and you lose all sense of time. If I have that timer and it goes beep, 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 then I know,
yep.
I've already been doing this for an hour. I've got to go and I've got to check something or I've got to
exactly.
do something.
Exactly.
And I
exactly.
really, I find that that makes me pay attention. And
yep.
those little things that you get at the dollar store, they're so noisy, it's unbelievable. So it really gets your attention. You can't ignore it. But I really think that you doing what you've said, you know, making your list, and don't try to do it all at once because
no,
we're all busy people and things can come up. So when you can do just like maybe a half hour or an hour and you've got that list and then you have the satisfaction of being able to cross it off and say that little bit is done, that is it, that's a wonderful way of doing it.
Oh, it's
so were
huge.
You able to achieve all your directives for the year?
Done. Yep, done. Absolutely done. Crossed off and done. And what I did, here's a trick, and it's called SMART goals, and there's an acronym. Make your task simple and specific. Make it measurable. Make it attainable. R is realistic, and T is time-oriented. So when you have that one particular room you want to do, I had subheadings. I had bureau, closet, under the bed, whatever it was, bookcases. When I finished each one of those, I checked it off. I checked it off, and then I celebrated. I sat down with a hot cup of tea, and I just looked outside, and I just went, wow, you did it. Look at what you did today.
I think that's so
important. So I really focused in on one particular area until it was done.
And one of the things that you mentioned in your book is limit distractions, and I think that's important. I know that... It's so easy to, especially if you have family, or you got animals, you got this, that, or the other. But if you can say, look, this is what's going to be done. And if you have family, you actually can involve your family unless you've got one of those that says, oh, no, you're not going to do anything. I'm going to share something with you. There is a member of my family that was running a corporation, had a secretary, and I can remember... talking to the secretary and to the side saying, how do you deal with all of this clutter? I walked into this person's office. They had magazines stacked up in a corner and papers like you wouldn't believe. And she said, I want you to know you're only seeing about half of what was there. I said, what do you mean? She said, I will go into this person's office. She had worked with this person for a long time. Goes into this person's office and will look at all of the different things and then quietly remove it. They're never missed. She removes this stuff, puts it out in the recycle bin, makes sure she does it when this person is out at a meeting or what have you. And by golly, do you know it works?
Of course it does.
She said, I just go and I do it. I just go and do
yep.
it. She said, otherwise, we wouldn't be able to even sit down and have a business meeting in this office. This person is just, this is a professional businessman. This is a person that's well-groomed. You'd never know that that's it, but you step into the office and you go, oy gavilt, what have I got here?
Right. It's in a different planet and a time zone.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Now, let's talk about mental clutter.
I said to the kids when they were younger, if they did not pick up their room by a certain time during the week, you know, towards the end of the week, your rooms really needed to be picked up. And if they weren't, they were to put them in a paper bag and we would drive them to Bootstraps or Salvation Army or a homeless shelter that needed toys for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, I've given you fair warning. You've had 4 days to think about this. And when the time comes, that's it. And it only took once for them mm-hmm. to realize, wow. And especially around the holidays,
mm-hmm.
when presents are going to be unwrapped, we will go around in their room and I will ask them, would they be willing to pare down some of their toys in order to donate them to somebody who would really use them and appreciate them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were really willing to do that.
Oh, I think that's a marvelous approach with kids, because as they're growing, especially, there's so many other things that they're going to be interested in.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a certain collection they don't want to give up, a stamp collection or whatever it might be, and that's fine. But I think
that's
holding
fine.
Them accountable, yeah, to keep it organized is great. I do want to get into mental clutter, because this is a very significant part of your book.
Yeah.
Often clutter that is around us physically is a representation of what's going on in the head.
Yeah.
And just with what we discussed right at the beginning of the show, people that live in, I mean, this woman you spoke of, she's as bad as the gal that was shown on the Oprah show.
Mm.
And that was just beyond me. But you have these things, and one of the biggest challenges is feeling overwhelmed. That
yep.
is something I know I have said at times. I just go, oh, my goodness, if I have anything else put on my plate, I think I'm just going to have the screaming memes, or maybe I'll take the next flight to the moon. I've just, you know, just you reach those points where you just absolutely just feel like you don't have another ounce of energy to even give, and everything can just, you know, go wherever. What can someone do with that? Because mental clutter creates more disharmony many times than physical clutter. And the woman you described and the woman I was talking about that my bookkeeper assisted, this is very much a representation of clutter mentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Many times when people have mental clutter, they are overstructured, overcommitted, and overexhausted. They have that to-do list that's running 24/7 in their mind. It's like a gerbil on a treadmill, and the list gets longer and longer and longer. And here's a news flash for you. Your list is never going to be finished.
Isn't that the truth?
Never. Tomorrow is going to come, and there's going to be more things on your list to add. But here's a trick. When you have your list in front of you, the first swipe looking at it should be, what is here that I can, one, delegate to have someone else do? What is here on my list that I can say no to? Delegate and say no to. Two very big words that so many people have such a hard time with.
Mm-hmm.
When you are asking somebody to delegate, to take over a responsibility, you now relinquish the control. Many people want full control. Well, if you want to simplify your mental clutter, you need to release the control. You need to release the part of you that wants it perfect. In many instances, good is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, yep, very, very much so, you might be doing a better job. However, what is the point? Do you want to decrease your mental list, or do you want to add more stress?
It really is a significant thing. One of the things that I think that is very good today, and I admire people that can do this, is that you have Craigslist, you have eBay, and if you have the time and are of the nature to go after, you know, this type of an environment and to sell things that you've got, you can actually put money in your pocket.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of things there that are really positive.
And if you're not one that has the time to do it, guess what? You can delegate someone to do it. People are doing this for a profession. They may get a percentage of what you are selling the item for, but this is a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a win-win.
Absolutely. I had to chuckle at a number of your personal stories, and I want to share this one. You were talking about how every once in a while you get pretty irritated and you have a short temper. Gee, it sounds like you're a human being. You talked about the one time you drove to New Bedford to visit your father when he was in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
And you pulled into Dunkin' Donuts to get a cup of coffee, and you were getting really annoyed that the drive-through wasn't responding after you'd ordered it. As it turned out, you were so out of it that you'd been giving your order to the trash bin that stood before the order microphone.
I was. True story.
I love that.
True story.
My dad was.
Yeah, my dad was dying in the hospital. Mom could not care for him any longer. I would drive down 2-3 times a week from north of Boston to New Bedford, and I was exhausted. And the kids were young. They were young. So I felt as I was being stretched. And I thought to myself, if I was the manager of Dunkin' Donuts, I would seriously have a conversation with the employee who is at the drive-thru window. Clearly, he's not listening. And I just, every time I go by the Dunkin' Donuts and the trash can, I just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That is mental clutter in spades.
I think we can all relate where we have done things or where there are those comic moments, and I think they're priceless because, one, it makes us realize we are human.
Yeah.
Two, it's like I was telling a friend of mine who was anxious about something. I said, well, will you take it from someone that's lived for a little bit of time here? Just know the dust bunnies aren't going to grow anywhere. They may multiply. You may have quite a collection, but they're not going to go anywhere. And I can guarantee you the dirty dishes in the sink will be more than happy. They have patience like you wouldn't believe, and they'll be waiting for it. And by the time we got through talking, she was laughing like crazy. And I said, look, this is what it is. I know exactly how you feel because I'm of the same nature. I really like having things tidy. I really like having things in order. But there comes a point when you have to say, there's one thing of dealing with clutter, but there's another time when sometimes you just have to turn off everything and really get a good night's sleep, watch a funny movie, talk to a trash can, whatever it is that you need to do. But get real with yourself, because as you said earlier, there's always going to be something. I can clean my office up perfectly, and within a week, all of a sudden, I have all this stuff, and I watched myself one day. I said, where did all this come from? Mail, books coming in, I mean, all kinds of things with a show. And I'm looking at that, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to take it maybe once a month and attack certain things, and then I just know it's repeating itself. It's the same thing with mail. I mean, we have this stuff coming in all the time. And just like you were mentioning with email, hoi gavilt, we have so much of that that goes on. Your book is delightful, and you have so many wonderful suggestions in here. We've touched on a number of them in the show today. And what is your website that people can go to where they can find out not just about your wonderful book, Why Can't I Get Rid of All This Clutter If I'm So Smart? Where do they go? What's your website?
My website is www.sally, that's S-A-L-L-I, I-E, Felton, F as in Frank, E-L-T-O-N, lifecoach.com.
All right, Sally Felton, lifecoach.com. And Sally, it's been a delight having you as a
guest.
Well,
thank you, Donna. And I've got a gift for all of your listeners that want to connect with me.
Okay.
It's called Stop the Madness. And it is a sheet, a document that locates where you actually write down where important papers are, like your health proxy, mm-hmm. like where your will is, anything that somebody would need to have in case of an emergency, instead of searching your desk for all those important pieces of information, it's all in one place and
terrific.
On one sheet. So I am happy to send that to people.
Wonderful. All right, for those of you listening, Sally Felton, lifecoach.com. Check out her book, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? And share it with a friend, if nothing else. Invite them over for cookies and chocolate or whatever you're going to do. And talk about maybe how you can help each other out. It's really a great thing to do. And boy, do you feel good after it's done. This is Donna Sebo. Sally, thank you for being my guest today. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me. Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain pain specialists are using and recommending Toprosin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprosin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprosin. Toprosin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprosin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprosin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, we're going to have a great lineup of people next week, and I wanted to give you a heads up on who's coming up, and it will all be listed under show information by the first of the month. On Monday, we're going to be talking with Chris Steins. This is about a book titled The Women of Wisdom. This is exploring dreams and spirit of women. Some pretty powerful women will be sharing some very personal stories. And then Jim Drever. We're going to be taking another aspect of how you end your story and begin your life. How can you rewrite your life script? Then People versus State of Illusion. This is a film that I reviewed just a few days ago, and it is awesome. Absolutely awesome. It has nothing to do with politics, and Boston Vickers is going to be with us. Healing, Romance, and Revolution, a fascinating book about an American nurse in China. Carolyn and Dennis Buckmaster are going to be my guests. And then Dorothy Kramer is a professional healer, and she has put out a new publication called The Healing Touch. So we have quite an eclectic and very dynamic array of guests, and all of that information is going to be posted on BBS by, I would say, well, within 2 days. And so you'll have all of the brief summaries, et cetera, available to you for that. I wanted to share a story with you today. This is about a 9-year-old girl. Her name is Rachel. This is a young lady whose life is very good. And there was a particular situation that happened to her. She was visiting with their grandmother. And after grandmother had served up their meal, and the kids were sort of fussing because grandma had served up chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy and Brussels sprouts. And, of course, like so many kids, they go, oh, I don't want to eat this. And she said, you know, you two kids need to appreciate what you have. You're fortunate that you have food on your plate to eat. And she then handed a newspaper article to her granddaughter, Rachel. And she asked Rachel to read it out loud. So Rachel said, okay, Grandma, I'll do that. And as she was reading it out loud, Rachel could hardly believe what she was reading. It was about Haiti. The article said food was so scarce that mothers fed their children mud cookies. Cookies literally made out of dirt. Well, her brother went, yeah. And Rachel said, that is terrible. Why in the world? You know, it's just awful. Well, that got their attention, and they realized that they had a good meal in front of them, so they started eating quite earnestly. But while she was eating, Rachel could not erase out of her young mind that there were children in another country that were eating mud pies. And it wouldn't leave her. Her brother, it didn't make any difference to him, but it did to her. And she said, when she was talking to her mom before she went to bed, she had told her about what she had read, what her grandmother had shown her, what she had read and shared. She said, Mom, my prayer is that, you know, a sandwich company could fill their plane with sandwiches and fly them to Haiti so that moms could feed their babies. Well, her mother wasn't surprised that her daughter was so affected by the article. She had always been very, very thoughtful. And in preschool, Rachel had given all the money in her piggy bank, which amounted to $40, which to a preschooler, that's a lot of money, to a little girl who was upset because she hadn't gotten what she'd wanted for her birthday. And her mom really appreciated her daughter's sense of compassion and concern. Well, Julie was invited, along with some other kids, to attend a Chamber of Commerce gathering at Food for the Poor. Now, this is an international relief agency. And her mom, whose name was Julie, said, "I'm going to take Rachel with me." Now, there were 60 business owners that were at this meeting, and here was 9-year-old Rachel in her sundress and little pigtails, and she was listening to every word that the nonprofit CEO was talking about, and his discussion was about Haiti. When he held up the mud cookie, Rachel's hand immediately went up. She said, "I know all about these mud cookies. How can kids live eating dirt?" Rachel had more than one question. She wanted to know if there were schools for the kids. She wanted to know if there were hospitals for the people that had been injured. Well, the CEO tried to answer all of her questions, and the adults were just watching this 9-year-old girl and listening to the answers that were being given. The CEO showed a picture of two sisters. They were in desperate condition. No clothes. There was no hope in the eyes of these children. And he then showed another picture of these very same girls after they got some help with food for the poor. And they were clean. They had some clothing. They looked healthy and happy. Well, young Rachel was so affected by this, she turned to her mom and she said, "You know what, we've got to do something." Julie said, "Okay, what do you think? What do you think we can do?" Well, in the meeting, they learned that the Haitian families lived in cardboard shacks, but for $2,600, Food for the Poor could build a 2-room concrete house. So here's this 9-year-old. She says, "Okay, I'll build a house." So her mother said, "Okay, let's see what my daughter will learn." Took her to the next Chamber of Commerce meeting. Her daughter, Rachel, gets up on a chair. Remember, she's 9 years old. She's very petite. There were 100 people in that room. And Rachel started speaking. She talked about how poor the people were. She told them about what she wanted to do, and she wanted to know who would help her. Almost every hand in that room went up. She raised enough money in that one meeting for 2 houses. That's right, 2 houses. She got so excited about this that she went and posted a plea on Facebook. She made bracelets, sold them. She had lemonade stands, sold the lemonade. Did bake sales, sold the goods. She had enough money for 6 houses, 10 houses. Then a local newspaper found out what she was doing. People started donating money like crazy to this 9-year-old girl. After 8 months of starting out with her dream, Rachel had enough money for 27 houses. 27 houses. Now, there was an earthquake in 2010, in January, but by the fall of 2010, what they titled Rachel's Village was completed. And the family went down a year ago to see it. Everybody knew about Rachel. Once she got home from that trip, she started fundraising for a school. The school has started. The construction is going on. Her next project, she wants money enough for 20 more houses, then a food distribution center, and a clinic. She said, I'm not stopping until what is needed is provided. Her mother said, I have no doubt she'll reach her goal. She's always reminding us you can accomplish anything you imagine, and just look. My daughter has. The Rachel's in the world. She started out at 9. This is a couple of years later. Can you imagine how rich her life has become because she set an objective and was willing to go after it? And she asked for help, and she got it. It's an amazing lesson that I think any of us can learn from. A 9-year-old girl believes that something can be done, and it can be. I think it's a powerful story. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it when I found it on my desk. And I just think it's something that we need to remember. There always is going to be a need somewhere, and there's always an opportunity for us to do something somehow. Sometimes we don't have the money, but we can provide energy, or we can be supportive of something that we believe in and feel is worthwhile. That is what makes this world a richer place, participation. However you do it, in any way that you do it, you need to know you can make a choice about what you want to do. She focused on Haiti. You may have something going on in your neighborhood. Take care of it. Be a part of it. But come from your heart as well as understanding the practical side. That 9-year-old girl was able to do it. We can do the same. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, I've got some little tidbits of this, that, and the other. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Quickly, I want to mention some things to you. Number one, my Quantum Mind class is coming up on April the 14th. I'm getting calls from students that want to participate. We can only have 25 people in the class if you're in Western Washington. This is where it's going to be held. We're going to be talking about Chinese medicine and how to use it in everyday life. And also, we're going to be talking about dreams and how to utilize those dreams as a tool, but to also give you the opportunity to see your own psychic capabilities. We'll be doing some mind exercises. It's going to be a wonderful event. April the 14th, which is a Saturday, 10 to 4. Lunch is provided. We have a beautiful environment. It's just fabulous. And each and every class has been very uniquely different. So I invite you to come along, and all you have to do is give me a call, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. Also, the big change that's going to be coming is the Donna Sebo Show is going to be moving to 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 1st of May. That show will still be live, and I will be there in the morning instead of being on in the afternoon Pacific Time. So you may want to make a note, 9 to 10 a.m. May the 1st, and I'm looking forward to it. It's really going to be a lot of fun. Well, I wanted to share something with you about sky dragons. Sky dragons and serpents. If you're like me, you always enjoy the stories and the fables about the flying dragons. They've had so many movies that have come out that have just been beautifully done. But there are stories that people swear are real, and I wanted to share some of them with you. Because in Chinese culture, the symbol of the dragon is extremely powerful. And if you're born in the year of the dragon, that's a very, very powerful year. But let me share some of these little tidbits of historical recordings of unique and unusual happenings. Let's start back in June of 1873, and this happened in Bonham, Texas. Farmers were absolutely terrified because they saw what in their minds was a huge sky serpent. In fact, in the local Bonham Enterprise newspaper, there were eyewitness accounts of this snake, which was as long as a telegraph pole and had bright yellow stripes. They saw it coiling itself up, twisting. It writhed, and then it would strike at some unseen target. It traveled eastwardly, and shortly after it was seen in Texas, another sky serpent was seen over Fort Scott, Kansas. This was seen at sunrise, and it seemed to be encircling the sun as it rose above the horizon. Now, what's interesting, now remember the time frame, it's 1873. It lasted for a good deal of time and was witnessed both by civilians and the U.S. cavalry that was stationed there. They found in records that sightings of aerial snakes and dragons date back through antiquity. In fact, from A.D. 774, Huntington, England's archdeacon wrote, "Red signs appeared in the sky after sunset, and horrid serpents were seen in sunset." In 793, there was an Anglo-Saxon chronicle, a year-by-year narrative compiled in British monasteries that records an amount of people seeing fiery dragons during an extreme lightning storm in A.D. 793. Now, here are some others. 1388 and 1762, a flying dragon was seen over Britain, and a twisting serpent illuminated the sky for 6 minutes over Devonshire. In Nebraska, in 1857, a flying serpent hovered over a Missouri River steamboat, slowing for a landing. And in the late dusk, it was like a great undulating serpent in and out of the lowering clouds, breathing fire, it seemed, with lighted streaks along the sides. In 1883 in Maryland, there was a person, initials only, R.B., who witnessed a huge monstrous dragon with glaring eyeballs and a mouth wide open, displaying a tongue which hung like a flame of fire from its jaws, and it reared and plunged over Cadleton Mountain at 6:30 a.m. 1888, South Carolina, sky snake reported. This one hit. 1897 in Michigan, 4 a.m., John Rosa, the newspaper boy, and the policeman he was with, saw a hissing, silvery serpent 3 blocks long shooting through the air 1,000 feet overhead. 1935, Scandinavia. That's right, people witnessed a serpent moving through the sky. 1935 and 1937, sky serpents appeared over Cruz Alta, Brazil. Fascinating stuff. Makes you wonder, what was it? What was it? Definitely a UFO, an unidentifiable, but it was identified. They said it was a sky serpent, a sea dragon. Fascinating stuff. Just never know. The world is full of all kinds of mysteries. And what about famous people? Yes. What have they created through history? Well, Cleopatra. Let's take that lady who is just, Elizabeth Taylor. She made a gorgeous Cleopatra. Fabulous tales about Cleopatra. Now, we all know she was a pharaoh of Egypt in the first century. And people, historically, have often said she was black and Egyptian. However, the reality is she was actually Greek and Caucasian. How can we dispel myths? Well, with technology, many times these myths are finding their way out. And this was just something Catherine the Great, the Empress of Russia, 1700s. Well, she had a lot of enemies. And the thing that they said is that she was in some kind of an illicit sexual situation when she died. But they said that wasn't even the truth. The woman had a stroke. Rumors start up. Sometimes they're fabricated. Why? Well, we have to figure it out sometimes. Sometimes we never know. But there is all kinds of stuff, like Nero, fiddling while Rome burned. But they say the truth is he actually organized and personally funded a massive relief effort, and fiddles weren't anywhere close to Rome at the time that this event happened. There are so many things that are told by people, and getting to the truth of it is often difficult. It's often difficult. And I think that many times people who are considered historians start stories and rumors. But it really can bring something to the forefront that I think is important. Finding out the facts about anything is really first and foremost a priority. And in today's world, we miss a lot of them, especially with the Internet. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. My goodness, we're already out of time. Talk with you soon. Take care. We'll be right here at BBS Radio, same time, same place, right here on the Donna Siebel Show. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.